Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You say, does prayer change God? No. Prayer changes circumstances. Yes. And we are to pray with importunity. That means we pray and we pray and we pray. We say, well, I don't believe God is paying any attention. No, we pray and we pray. And 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us to pray without ceasing. How do you do that?
The truth is, prayer can be hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Learning How to Pray, where he shares what you can do when you don't know how to pray. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Learning How to Pray.
We've been studying the book of Romans, but we've really narrowed it down to the greatest chapter, perhaps in all the Bible. We've called it the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And we said that if you and I get Romans chapter 8, we sort of got it. We've got the foundation of becoming a Christian, living the Christian life, and the promise of paradise with thee forever and forever. It's all wrapped up in these 39 verses. And it is a thrilling thing to understand and to comprehend and to get some things incorporated into our minds. Now, remember where we are. This is how he set us free in Jesus Christ. Here's the Holy Spirit. Here's how we live that life. And then he goes back and he says a topical sentence that we need to understand. That's verse 18. Listen to it. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed." So here we have groaning, suffering, and glory together. Now think about it. Remember the primary thing we're learning in Romans chapter 8 is that we're in the family, right? We got it. We're there. We have been inherited. We're like a brother or sister to Jesus Christ, and we can pray to God, Abba, Father. I mean, what? If you want an entree to somebody that's really got all the stuff in the world and, man, you're really close to them and they have everything available, just think, now because of Jesus Christ, we can say, Dad, to our Heavenly Father. Just settle in on that. See how magnificent that is, how supernatural that is, how powerful that is. But now, as he's given us this assurance, remember the theme of Romans 8? It shows us how the Holy Spirit works, but primarily Paul is saying you are safe. You have eternal safety. Everything you have in Christ, you can't lose it. It is there with you now and forever. So he's talking about eternal security. And now he does a bizarre thing. He talks about suffering. Paul is here saying, look, you're going to have some groaning in this life. Anybody want to debate with that? I could list all kind of groaning. The word groaning here means, man, it is a death cry. It is a ferocious thing. It is pain that comes from health problems, from death in members of your family, from situations in your vocation, from when you're brokenhearted, when a friend betrays you. I mean, it is all built in there. We groan, sometimes verbally, sometimes inwardly. But in this life, there will be groaning. I take my life just quickly in the relationship thing. My dad has left this earth. My mother's left this earth. My younger brother, my wife, my granddaughter, you think there's not groaning involved in that in a human perspective? And by the way, you say, well, I've never experienced all that. Just live a little while. You will. Guaranteed. Write it down. And so therefore, there will be groaning, vocational challenge, all of it, all of it. And here he says, the groaning that we have today, and that's for Christian and non-Christian, there's groaning, is nothing compared with, follow me closely, with the glory that is to come. Here's groaning, here's glory, and Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. He says, we have these little bitty, you know, peanut things in life. It sounds big to me. He said, these little peanut things, these little temporary problems we have in all this vast scope of life, it's nothing compared to the glory that's going to come. And the word glory is a fabulous word. It's mentioned all the way through the Bible. Remember we said it means weight? Compared to the weight, the significance that we're going to have, all of this we go through, that we cry and we lament and we have all kinds of challenging situations in every area of life. Paul says, that's not anything. It's peanuts compared to the weight of glory. And glory has about it a beauty, a joy, a radiance, the Shekinah there. All of this is nothing compared to the glory that's going to come. Paul is saying, whatever we're going through now, this groaning, you can't even compare it to the glory that he gives us and the glory that will come. That's the introduction. Now we get down to business. That's the thesis sentence. Look at verse number 19. We'll go all the way through, if we can, to verse 27. We're going to see here groaning that comes to creation in hope. By the way, let me define the word hope biblically for you. I don't like the word hope. I don't use the word hope much. If you listen to me, because you have to explain it, because you and I think hope is maybe wishful thinking. It would be nice. I hope. I imagine. I don't know. The biblical word for hope is not that word. It's used as hope, but hope biblically means an anticipated, exciting reality. Does that change the meaning? Hope in the Bible means, man, I am thrilled about what is going to happen, and I am confident it will happen, and I'm telling you, you can count on it happening. That's what the word hope in the Bible means, not all this, well, it would be nice. You got it? So here we see groaning of creation in hope. And look at it in verse number 19. For the earnest expectation of creation, by the way, that means tiptoe. Creation is on tiptoe, this cosmos, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is groaning, but creation is eagerly awaiting for the sons of God. What in the world does that mean? It means when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, a part of the penalty for that was the fall, but human beings did not fall. All of creation came under the curse. Remember that now Adam had to make a living by working in the ground, and the ground had been cursed. That was the curse upon creation. And therefore, it's saying creation is on tiptoe, looking forward to the sons of God. What is that moment? That is when Christ comes and brings down the curtains of history, and we all who are in Christ will receive our resurrection bodies. Remember, this body is not going to make it, and then we'll live forever on a new heaven and a new earth, a whole new creation. Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God like a bride adorned for her husband. This is the creation that will come. A bride adorned for her husband. Let me tell you something. I have never seen a bride that was not beautiful. A couple of them barely made it. But I'm telling you, that is what we're seeing. A new heaven and new earth, and creation is groaning right now in the fallen state in which we find it. And look at the rest of the verses here about the groaning of creation. But it's groaning in, there's our word, hope. For the creation was subjected to futility, that's the curse, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope. Who put the curse on the world? God did when Adam and Eve rebelled and took over their own lives. And therefore, there is a futility in creation today. See the rest of it. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, there's our word, freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. The world in which we live is a fallen world, and the whole creation is groaning. It's the crying out of the earth for redemption, for a new birth. And that's what happens when Christ comes. We will live here with our resurrection body in a new heaven and a new earth that God's going to bring down for us at that time, just like he created this earth. That is the groaning that we hear. All the earth is groaning in hope. What does that hope mean? An assured future that will be beautiful. And here we see groaning and glory working together again. So we see the creation is groaning in hope for that day, in the resurrection day. As we are resurrected, so this world will be resurrected. That is a fabulous promise that the Bible and God gives to us. Look at the next thing. That not only does the creation groan, but we groan. You and I groan. And look, by the way, the latter part, look at verse 22. It says, with birth pains. In other words, the groaning of creation is like birth pains. When your wife was having a baby, you didn't say, I want to take a picture to show how she looked when she was having a baby. No. That's just the groaning, the pains of birth that Paul is talking about here. We take a picture when that baby is born in the mother's arm, and there's a radiance and a glory there that we can't even describe. There's not adjectives enough to explain it. You see, that's the pain that we go through now in creation, anticipating for the birth of that new creation, that pristine world. Also, we groan as Christians, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. What does that mean? It means that we have a sample. We have just a sample of the glory right now in Christ. We don't have all of it. We have a sample of it. It's just the beginning of it. It's just a taste of it. It's just, I like to say, it's hors d'oeuvres before the glory that is on the way. First fruits. By the way, that's all the Jews would understand that, because when they had a harvest, the first fruits they would grow, they would take and they would wave it in the air. That's a wave offering. They'd wave it in the air, and that would say, this belongs to God, therefore the whole harvest which will yet come belongs to God. You got it? Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful passage there. First fruits of the Spirit, all in the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves grown within, eagerly awaiting, there again, that tiptoe for the adoption. Wait a minute. We thought we'd already been adopted. Hadn't we gone through that? Is Paul confused? He just said, we were adopted in the family of God, if you were here last week. And we have full right of children, more rights really than a natural born son or daughter. And now he said, we are adopted But look at the rest of the phrase. And the redemption of the body, waiting for the redemption of, we are already adopted. In other words, in the Bible, there is that already, and there's that not yet. Already, we're adopted in the family, and we have all the privileges here limited on this earth, but there will be a day when there will be a resurrection of the body, and we'll be fully adopted. We will, as Paul says in Corinthians, we will know as we have been known. Isn't that fabulous? Know as we have been known. But in the meantime, we're going to have some affliction. Now, also it tells us, follow me, we know that creation groans in hope, for it's going to happen, assured. We know that we as Christians groan in hope, and the word hope is in both those sections. Now we come, it says, the Holy Spirit groans. Well, look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit itself makes an intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be endured. And by the way, the Holy Spirit groans and rolls up his sleeves. Did you get that? Creation groans, hoping for what will come out, new creation. We groan, knowing, hoping, confident what's going to come out, our resurrected body. But the Holy Spirit groans and rolls up his sleeves. What am I talking about? That's the little word helps. The Holy Spirit groans on our behalf and helps us. Helps is a little bitty word. Now, don't get blown away. There's a big old Greek word. The Greek word is sunanilambanotai. Helps. It would be sunanilambanotai. It's a big word. But man, it is one of those, remember I talked about pregnant words we look for to understand the Bible? You find those big words? Soon means with. Anti means on the other side. Lambanotai means to take hold of. What's this all about? It says we don't know how to pray. We're not good prayers. We don't know what to say. We're not sure it's going to get through. But the Holy Spirit comes and goes on the other side where we are, and with us, he takes hold of soon when we pray that which we're praying about. I don't want to confuse you. Soon. With, now, goes on the other side. The Holy Spirit goes right where we are, right what we're praying about, right what we're concerned about, right what we're rejoicing about, right where we want leadership about, and it takes hold of us. And the Holy Spirit prays when we don't know how to pray. Say, well, I know how to pray. No, we don't. Man, if God had answered my prayer, I would be married when I was a teenager to a totally different girl. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. I can tell you a lot of stupid, foolish, cursory prayers I've uttered, and they were absolutely ridiculous in the light of what I know now. So when we're praying, and a lot of times in a crisis time, in a time of indecision, we just don't know how to pray, and we're afraid we'll say it wrong. Don't worry about it. Because if we're in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes over on the other side where we are with our mumbling and our groaning and our not knowing how to pray, and he takes hold of us, and he makes the right intercession to the Father. The Holy Spirit takes our word, and with groanings, our groanings, he takes our groanings, and they go up to Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of God, and Jesus Christ interprets them to the Father. What does the Holy Spirit do when you and I pray? The Holy Spirit prays for you and I the prayer that, follow me carefully, we would pray if we knew everything God knows. You get that? That's so big, you ought to jump up and down and say, I get it. I get it. If we knew everything God knows, man, how we'd know how to pray, wouldn't we? That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's that big old pregnant word, sunanilambanotai, takes hold of us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. And that is so thrilling to me. That is so magnificent to me. We don't know how to pray, but the groaning, the Holy Spirit groans, and he rolls up his sleeve and said, don't worry about it. I've got it. You're in my family. And he takes that petition to God. You say, does prayer change God? No. Prayer changes circumstances. Yes. And we are to pray with importunity. That means we pray and we pray and we pray. We say, well, I don't believe God is paying attention. No, we pray and we pray. And 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? It means all the time. And I don't want to be super pious with you. I can be laughing or doing a lot of things. And there's just a sense of prayer. You know, Lord, be with me. I don't utter it always. Just help God, this man, this situation, this woman, this couple, this life. Help me right now to get through. I mean, we just breathe these little prayers constantly, not with a pious whine, but we just pray confidently. And it's sort of an unceasing. This is a part of him being the center of your life and my life. And sometimes, someday, it'll become so natural, you won't even think about it. I was looking at this passage, I said, you know, Lord, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's that spirit that's within us. And so we know that we pray, and we remember to whom we're praying. All these people, oh, God, I command you in the name of Jesus. That is so blasphemous. It's just hard to me to handle. Man, who are we talking to? Man, who are we listening for? We lose the awe and the fear of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you've lost everything. So we are to pray without ceasing, and we're to listen when we pray. And then we know that God will come and take all of our mumblings, and with the groaning of the Holy Spirit to the Heavenly Father, our prayers will have. If we are righteous, folks, you know, say, the effective prayer of a fervent, righteous man or woman is powerful. If somebody's just slopping through this life, their prayers doesn't mean a hill of beans. We want people who are praying and living a righteous life, not perfect. Somebody who is living that kind of life, knowing they're filled with the Spirit, knowing they're not perfect, but living that kind of life, that's the kind of people I want praying for me and praying for you and praying for our world. So prayer is a powerful thing. It is a thrilling thing. And by the way, you don't have to pray all day with all, dear Heavenly Father, O righteous, omnipotent one who dwells. No, no, no. Don't quote scripture to God. He already knows all of it. Did you know that? The desert fathers, you need to read them. Man, these godly men and women of another age locked themselves up in the desert of Egypt, and they lived there for decade after decade, and they prayed, and you read their writings, and they said they learned how to pray short little prayers, short little sincere prayers. Don't worry about all the verbiage, all the piosity. Just wait and talk. Those prayers reveal your heart, your emptiness. Prayer is getting naked before God. And the Holy Spirit takes that, and boy, he just lets it take wings and takes our little mumbling, groaning prayers. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then look at the end of this. It says, that leads us to God's will. And next week, I'm going to talk about God's will. That's our subject. How do you know God's will, God's plan for your life, my life, now, in whatever stage of life we're in? And see how fabulous this is for us. Groanings, a prelude to glory, and there's no comparison. And we know that the creation groans, for but in hope of there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hope meaning the confidence that that will be. And we know also that we groan as Christians, but we know the groaning is just a foretaste of the glory that we'll have somewhat here on this earth, and we'll have the full expanse of it in heaven when it comes. And then the Holy Spirit groans. The Holy Spirit groans on our behalf and causes you and me to pray the prayer that we would pray if we knew everything God knows. In the Dutch section of Indiana, there's a man named Billy Brown. He was a giant of a man, humble, successful, beloved, middle of the church, powerful. Everybody loved Billy. I mean, everybody loved him. Generous. He was a personal witness for Jesus Christ. He just lived it, and he explained it, and he called people to faith in the best kind of way. And everybody loved Billy. When he died, he left specific instructions for what his wife and family was to do. He said, I want to be placed in the church in the casket. I want the casket to be open. And he told the suit that he wanted to have on. And he said, also, I want you to put a fork in my hand, a fork. And so his wife and family knew what that meant. But Billy knew that people would come by all the city, and a lot of them he hadn't shared Christ with. He said when they saw that fork in his hands, they would ask, what is that? And he said, this will be a chance for me to witness when I've already graduated. Because he said, that fork will point them to what my life has been all about. And so sure enough, countless hundreds of people came by because Billy was a big, giant, powerful man. And they all asked about the fork, and they had a chance to tell everybody who asked, Billy just wanted you to know that he's having dessert.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, the reality is prayer is a struggle for a lot of people. What would you say to the person who knows they need to pray but has a hard time getting going?
There's a lot of things that God wants us to do. It's a lot of things that the devil does not want us to do. And the devil will keep you and me from praying. He'll keep us from reading God's word. He'll keep us from sharing our faith. There's the three big things that the force of evil, that force of evil let Christians do a lot of things and have a lot of joy and happy and praise. But you start genuinely talking to God, listening to God, reading his word and let it speak to your heart, and then begin to introduce people to Christ. Whoa! Man, that's not what he wants. But as we begin to take place, as we begin to practice these basic disciplines, fire will come into any life. Fire will come, the fire of God and the fire of his Spirit. That's how we mature and become what God has planned for us to become.
You talk about the role suffering has in our prayer life, Dr. Young. How can troubles actually help us grow closer with the Holy Spirit in prayer?
Well, when trouble comes in my life, and I walk those days, you know, my dad, my mother, my younger brother, my wife, they have left this earth. And those are tough times. I've had cancer. I've had triple bypass. I've had COVID. You name it. Those are times when we're down, whether it's grief or sorrow or suffering, or people lie about you and deceive you. We know how that feels. When we're down, what do? We blame God. We get mad at God. We get mad at others, the circumstances. The thing that God wants us to do is take a time out and look up and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? What does this mean? Why this trial? Why this injustice? Why this loss of someone who's so precious? And when God begins to deal with you, I listen better when I'm flat on my back. I listen better when I'm thrown to my face and thrown to my knees. So only way I can say is, When the bottom falls out of your life, when you get filled with doubt and fear, be still and wait and say, God, are you teaching me something? And in my experience, inevitably, every time, it takes a while, he's trying to say something to Ed Young that evidently I was not listening to and responding to in any other way.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.